This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
It's award season. Biletnikoff Award winner Travis Hunter now poised potentially to be the Heisman Trophy winner. He was not on top of my ballot. I'm not supposed to say who I voted for, so I'm just saying he wasn't on top of my ballot. It's probably not going to be popular in Big 12 country, but I don't care. I voted for who I thought had the best year, who was the best player. On that note, let's bring on B.J. Raines. He covers Boise State. He is in New York for this announcement at the Downtown Athletic Club that is coming up. Bronco Nation News, B.J. Raines joining us to set the scene. How is it there, B.J.?
It's great. That just means you must be a homer and voted for Dylan Gabriel then, I guess.
Not quite. I could just say that. I'll say that. Dylan Gabriel was not on top of my ballot. He was on my ballot, but he was not on top of my ballot. Narrow it down, people. PJ, you got a chance to talk to Travis Hunter, talk to everybody there. Just what are your quick takeaways? If you're talking to a friend, what's the first thing you'd tell him about what you saw today?
Well, I mean, I would say, first of all, not unexpected, but it was about 5-1 media members talking to Travis Hunter versus talking to the other guys. And the room they had was a little small for that too. So it was a little bunched up there, but Travis Hunter certainly was the star of attention, had a number of media members. So it was tough to get a ton of questions into him, but we're able to ask a couple about his relationship with Aston Genty. Had never met him before, earlier today when they had lunch, but he said that, hey, they went back and forth this year on social media, and just kind of he'd see what Aston would do, and Aston would see one of the games that he would put up, and they were kind of competing back and forth. And I know there's four finalists there, but it certainly seems like a two-man race in terms of Genty and Travis Hunter. So I thought just the respect they have for each other. I know at times this year it was, especially on Hunter's side, maybe would take some shots the other way or say try to prop himself up as being why he should win. But I thought today was pretty cordial. Both guys were praising each other and walking Times Square together and having lunch. And it was just a pretty cool thing. You see this thing on TV, and obviously tomorrow will be even cooler, but just to see the trophy and see the guys and the finalists and get a chance to chat with them all and see some of the media and folks here, I thought that it was just a pretty cool day.
I think so much of this award now has gotten away from maybe what it should be, and maybe this award should be given away at the end of the playoff. Maybe that would be change the voting as well. But, you know, as you went into today, what was the biggest question you had? You know you're going to get to talk to Travis Hunter. Is it about, you know, the Genty, and specifically, is it about the hype around, you know, Travis Hunter? You know, certainly it's not his fault that people are gathered around him, but you tell me.
Well, I actually was going to talk to some of the other finalists about who they would have voted for if they couldn't vote for themselves, and I got beat to the punch by Dan Patrick, who had asked Dylan Gabriel earlier today on his show who he would have voted for, and Dylan Gabriel said, "Hey, it's going to probably this clip's probably going to get caught and cut up and put other places." But he said, "I would vote for Aston Genty," and that kind of and he said, "Hey, we played against them," and he said, "I also came from a group of five. And I know what that kind of difficult challenge is to do that." So I thought that was, pretty noteworthy and telling. And it's funny because you see these national, and kind of getting on a tangent here, but you see all these social media polls and, you know, SportsCenter puts out, who do you think should win the Heisman? Who should win the Heisman? And when it's a fan vote or a social media vote, it's runaway almost every time for Ash and Venti, and it's not really close. And then you see the gambling odds and all the national pundits and stuff act like Travis Hunter is just walking away with this thing. And so, you know, the Maxwell Award last night going to Ash and Venti, 8 of the last 10 Maxwell Awards have gone on to win the Heisman, but also I think 18 of the last 20 AP Player of the Years have won the Heisman, and Hunter won that. So, I think all these guys obviously can make a strong case, and I think just seeing Hunter in person and the whole media attention and throng that he had kind of reaffirmed my, you know, opinion, I guess, that his candidacy is very strong, in part because of the social media hype and the Deion Sanders hype and Coach Prime and just Colorado being on Big Noon Kickoff 4 times today. There's just certainly no doubt about it that media hype and that kind of just the attention, you know, the public perceived winner, I guess, Travis Hunter, for sure, when you walk in that media room today and saw how many people are wanting to talk to him. So he's very deserving, probably will end up winning tomorrow, but I think a guy like Ashton Genty and some of these other candidates were doing it a little more, putting up their numbers a little more quietly.
Really a western part of the United States feel to this group is even Cam Ward played at Washington State, and that's different, you know, and we've seen a lot of years where the West didn't feel like it mattered in college football. But the criticism of Genty comes back to people who say, hey, he played against Mountain West competition for the bulk of the season. Never mind that he rushed for a 192 on Oregon. And then Travis Hunter, I watched his year, BJ, and I saw him in games late when Colorado had the game in hand. I saw them trying to get him the ball and get him some numbers. I mean, to me, I think there's some criticisms that go both ways.
No doubt. And, you know, again, I was actually criticizing Boise State earlier in the season. I thought they took him out of a couple of games too early, and I thought that might come back to bite him. And it looks like, you know, who knows if that's going to be the case or not. But he played a first half against Portland State, had 11 rushes for 127 yards, and then didn't play in the second half. He had another game against Utah State where they were only up like 24 points at halftime. They shut him down 186 yards in the first half on 13 carries and then just didn't play in the second half. So I don't think Boise State was stat padding at all with Genty. I thought he got his 30 carries, but in a lot of those games, they needed those to win the game. And so, people will say group of five, they'll say all that, but I think if you go back and look at the two or three games where Travis Hunter played the stiffest competition, I don't think he put up great numbers. And so, you're right. They were throwing to him when they're up 45-10. I mean, Travis Hunter, it just kind of stinks. It's been like this on my show too the last several weeks, where it's like if you can't prop up one, you know, Ashton Genty without talking bad about Travis Hunter. I mean, they're both tremendous players. They're both tremendous players. They're both deserving of the award. If this were 98 times out of 100, Ashton Genty would win the Heisman, but he's going up against a player, like I said, that is this two-way player, this generational player, but also I think is, you know, just in the right situation, playing for Coach Prime and the hype that comes with that. And I certainly think that's the social media has helped his candidacy with some of the plays he's making. So, but I think you look at the numbers, 7 of the last 8 games rushing for at least 30 carries for Genty, over 200 yards in the championship game, back-to-back 200-yard games when they needed them. And his worst game, his worst game, like I said, he still rushed for 127 yards, and that was when they took him – and that was when they took him out at halftime, like I said. So he stepped up when they needed him to. You know, that Washington State game at the time was a super important big game for them. He rushed for 259 yards against Washington State. And so, yeah, you can, you know, the Oregon game, 192 yards, and they, you know, probably should have beat Oregon in that game. But if you want to complain about Wyoming or San Jose or putting up numbers there, I mean, I guess everybody has their opportunity to. But anyone that watched the games, there was certainly not a more impactful player on his team. And I think you mentioned not voting till the end of the season, and I think there's something to that with the playoff now. But, I mean, Travis Hunter was sitting at home last weekend watching Ashton Genty rush for 200 yards on national TV and put his team into the college football playoff. So I think the team success and what Boise State did and the impact that Genty has on that certainly should hopefully be a factor for voters as well.
Now, you and I vote, but we don't have a say in when the vote comes out or the parameters. Is there any talk at the Downtown Athletic Club about the possibility of pushing the vote beyond the championship game and making the playoff part of it?
Well, I mean, then if you do it for that, then you talk about all these other awards, and when do they cut it off, you know, because they had this big awards show on ESPN last night and gave out all the awards. And the crazy thing is, they, as you know, I mean, you can start voting before the championship game, they open it on Monday, and so you could vote before the championship games, or you could wait and vote after the championship games, and it was due on Monday. And I think I saw, like, Brock Huer during the broadcast saying anybody that votes before the championship game should lose their vote. So if you're going to vote, you know, include conference championship games, yeah, now you have three, four. I mean, a school like Boise State could play three more games. I mean, he could have another fourth of his season or whatever to add to the data. I mean, one of my buddies, hosts a TV show in town that he's a sportscaster here for KTVB in Boise. He's like, how foolish, you know, and I don't know how much truth there is in this, but he says, how foolish are voters going to look if Boise State, if Ashton Gentry breaks Barry Sanders' record next week or whenever the game is, and Boise State wins the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, Boise State wins the Fiesta Bowl, and he breaks Barry Sanders' record, and they're in the Final Four of the playoff, and he, you know, with a win over Penn State, and he doesn't have, and he's not the Heisman Trophy winner. Like, it is kind of crazy to not include all the data points when you're talking about who had the best season. The one thing they're talking about maybe is, keeping the vote private as long. I know some people over at Nicole Auerbeck wrote about that at The Athletic, and I've seen some of that, but there's just not a lot of buzz. There wasn't a lot of buzz until everybody got here today. This week was a pretty quiet week in terms of the Heisman, and there's some talk that maybe if people are able to put columns out or things or talk about who they voted more in advance, it might make a little more buzz going into this thing.
You mentioned Dylan Gabriel being asked by Dan Patrick. I'm going to play that clip.
I'm going to say Ashton Gentry, and I say that because me being at the Group of Five once, knowing, you know, the challenges that come with that. Of course, I played against Ashton this year. I think he's a talented individual. His story is unique, and what he's been able to do is pretty impressive. And you put me in a spot, so I think this may be quoted, but no, I do think, you know, he's extremely worthy of it, and a guy who's...
Well, you don't have to worry about facing Travis Hunter, though. So, like, if you said, oh, I wouldn't have voted for him, I'd vote for, you know, Gentry, and then you had to play Colorado, and then Travis Hunter's going to say, I'm going to pick off a couple of your passes. So you don't have to worry about that until you get to the NFL.
I know. Then we'll maybe see each other then. You got to watch your words now. You don't know who you'll play.
You got to watch your words, he says.
And he had to see him at lunch. He had to see him at lunch an hour later and see him at all these media events and stuff. So I give Dylan Gabriel a lot of credit for being honest there. The easy thing would have just been to say Hunter or just say all these guys are deserving, but I kind of give him a lot of credit, and he seems like a very... In the times I've, very limited times I've interacted with him or heard him talk or whatever, in times Boise State played him at UCF and then played him obviously at Oregon, he seems like a very, very nice young man, very well respected.
Yeah, and he's, you know, there's no shame in saying, like, he's not saying Travis Hunter sucks. Like, you know, there's no shame in saying, hey, you know, I wouldn't have put you first on the ballot. I think Ashton's had a better year. How did Boise State keep Ashton Gentry? Because... Right now, I think, Oregon State, Washington State are having to play a lot of defense on their own rosters.
Well, it's funny. I mean, Dylan Gabriel could have been a teammate with him at Oregon last year if things had shaken the way. I mean, they were one of the schools I'm sure would have loved to have had him. Any school in America would have loved to have had him. And he had big-time offers to go to a lot of those big-time schools. But I think a lot of it was Spencer Danielson. You know, when Spencer Danielson got the head coaching job, he just had a great relationship with Ashton Gentry, and I think that, you know, obviously they put a package together. They had to significantly increase what they were paying them, and they came up with a package somewhere around $300,000. But, I mean, you can kind of laugh at that. I mean, that was the biggest ever at Boise State. But, again, when you're getting, you know, maybe $1 million offer from somewhere, I mean, $300,000 is not why he stayed. So, obviously, that was a big part of it was being able to increase his package and things like that. But I think it was just the culture that Boise State has, his relationship with the coaches and his teammates, and they felt they had a pretty good team coming back, and he wanted to try to get that to the playoff. And I also think, like, Ashton Gentry is just different. I mean, the slogan at Boise State is built different, and I really do think talking to, you know, Ashton Gentry and today and yesterday, and you hear some of the things that Travis Hunter and some of these guys say, and it's, you know, no disrespect to them, but you hear Ashton Gentry talk, and you can just tell that he's just different, and there's something about him that he just didn't want to, you know, he wanted a statue at Boise State. He wanted a legacy. He wanted to be one of the greatest ever. I mean, by winning the Doak Walker and winning the award he did last night, the Maxwell, I mean, he's the greatest football player in the history of Boise State football, and that's saying something. If he'd have gone and played 1 year at, you know, Oregon or 1 year at Georgia or 1 year at Ohio State, he would have, you know, lost that legacy and not really been able to come back and be as welcome at functions and things like that. Now he is forever a Boise State legend, and I think that was a big deal to him, having that legacy, and that was maybe more important than
than $1 million at the time or the big money he could have gotten. He knew that money was going to come if he bet on himself and did what he could do, and it's all paid off in a big way for him.
BJ Raines, Bronco Nation News with us. He's in New York for the Heisman announcement. Beyond that, Boise State is, like Oregon, waiting. SMU Penn State opening round game coming up on the 21st. 10 days later, Boise State will square off against the winner of that game. How are Bronco fans feeling about that matchup in the bracket when it came out?
Well, I think they feel pretty good about it, actually. I mean, there was a couple of the teams that they did not want to play, I think, were Texas. I don't think they were super crazy about a rematch with Oregon right away. Some of the other schools, Ohio State. I mean, there was like four of the five schools. I don't think most Boise State fans wanted to play are all on the other side of the bracket. So, obviously, Georgia will be a tough game, but who knows about their quarterback. But I think Penn State and SMU are probably two of the five or six teams that fans are like, yeah, we could probably beat them. Like, we're fine playing them. Aren't super scary and unbeatable like some of these teams may be. And I think the SEC teams, obviously, with the physicality up front and the size on the offensive and defensive lines could cause some problems for Boise State. But I think they feel okay about that matchup. They think either of those teams are obviously very good teams. And I think they'd rather play Penn State just for the national brand and recognition and, what comes with it. But, I mean, Boise State 3-0 in the Fiesta Bowl. I think it's kind of fitting that it's the Fiesta Bowl. That's where they've made their magic. That's where they've made their program. And the fact that Ashton Genty gets 3 weeks off and this offensive line gets 3 weeks off and they get to rest up and sit around and wait to find out who they're going to play. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I know they're going to change that rule maybe as early as next year to not give the bias to the conference champions and just, seed the field like they should, which I agree with. The bracket looks really really crazy. I mean, I'm sure your readers and listeners and everybody in Oregon, I mean, yeah, like Oregon, number one team in the country, undefeated, and then their reward is playing, those teams in the 8-9 matchup. I mean, it is crazy. So I know I'm preaching to the choir, but Boise State feels like they got a winnable game in the first game, and they feel pretty good about it. And they're, like I said, they've done a lot of history in the Fiesta Bowl, so I think they're excited to go back down there and do it again.
I think Boise State's carrying not just the hopes of Mountain West and Boise fans, but I think there's a lot of people hoping for a disruption in, to the status quo, and Boise State and Arizona State and SMU, to some respect, are those kinds of teams. But I don't think there's a greater entry in this bracket that is going to get a lot of love nationally than Boise State. That has to mean a lot to Jeremiah Dickey, the AD there, and all the people who have over the years poured into that program, Chris Peterson and others.
Yeah, no doubt. They know they're kind of playing for they're kind of playing for the group of five teams. And really, I mean, they're playing for previous Boise State teams. There were much better Boise State teams that went undefeated that never got a chance to play in the playoff. And for this team to be the one that gets the breakthrough and actually be in the tournament, in the field, they know they're playing for all those other teams that didn't get the chance. And I do think for other group of five teams as well. I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, Boise State shouldn't be the three seed. And, as this tournament continues to evolve and expand and, how many seats at the table are they going to give to the little guys here? And so some people think Boise State's overvalued and overrated. I think Boise State is kind of playing for all the group of five teams for the future here to show that there's good quality teams. I mean, if Boise State goes and gets blasted by Penn State, then that's obviously not going to be a good look for the group of five in terms of, one of the premier teams not being able to match up on a neutral field against a Big Ten team. So I think there's a lot riding on this for Boise State, but also for the other non-power, teams when it comes to the future of the playoff.
All right, do we know what the injury was to Genty? That, I suspect it was his forearm. I'm not going to be surprised if we find out one day he had a fractured forearm or he had some kind of dislocation. Do you know the injury?
Yeah, it was like a hyperextended elbow or something. It was something with the elbow, I believe, because the brace was on both sides of it. And he wore that for about four or five games, but he has since taken that off and is no longer wearing that, and he's improved. But, yeah, he's had some ankle sprains. He's had all kinds of bumps and bruises. You can only imagine, like, that guy in the training room on a Sunday after some of the workload he's putting in. But, it was it was either forearm or elbow. I think it was, like, a hyperextended elbow or something.
Well, BJ Raines, have fun in New York. Have more fun at the Fiesta Bowl, and we'll get you on down the road. I appreciate you joining us.
Hey, no problem. Anytime. Appreciate you for having me on.
There he is from Bronco Nation News, Ashton Genty, Travis Hunter, Dylan Gabriel, and Cam Ward will be your finalists at the Downtown Athletic Club as that Heisman is officially awarded over the weekend. My ballot, I did not have Hunter on top. I did not have Gabriel on top. So you know what I did. Coming up, our big splash. Leave it here.
This is Joan.
Morning.
Joan is an owner-operator truck driver.
Yep, hauling some produce today.
She doesn't have the time to fool around.
Ooh, so true.
Joan traded up to Geico Commercial Insurance for serious 360 coverage, not just for her truck, but for her cargo. She can even get serious savings for her inspection history.
So, where's the Geico twist? Is Napoleon gonna come out driving a forklift?
Bonjour!
No, this is a serious Geico ad.
Oh, no. Au revoir!
Get more with Geico Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.